Okay, tonight is Monday night, January 7th. This is the Gemara Shir, third Perek of Moed Katan, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.
Okay, we begin tonight with a he'ara, a comment on something that we did previously. So if you take the packet, we'll start with that. On a debate amongst Achroinim about the case which we learned 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It was the case of Rebbe's maidservant who had put somebody into cherem because she hit, the father hit his son, an adult son, and the father was as a result guilty of the law of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol. Do not place a stumbling block in front of somebody. And by smacking his kid, he was encouraging the child to violate the law of striking your father, because he might strike him back, or cursing the father, because he might curse him, or in general, showing a measure of disrespect. So his action triggered the violation of the child's part. So he, Pop, was guilty of placing the stumbling block in front of this child by smacking him. So, the Ksav Sofer was asked the following question. It starts up on the top. So if you look at that first bracketed line, about five lines from the top, Ki Pundik Yisrael, a Jewish-owned inn, the guy's name is Tractor, Mivashel b'chol Shabbat v'Shabbat avur ochlei shulchano kimo b'chol. This guy, a Jewish-owned motel keeper, would cook every single Shabbos just as he did during the week for all of his customers. So there are two levels to this question. Are the customers allowed to eat the food? Allowed to eat? They didn't necessarily order the food, but they are regular guests, and he specifically cooked for his guests. That's his job. So can they eat the food? Or, even more so, can somebody who is not necessarily staying at this inn, can he also go ahead and eat the food that was cooked on Shabbos? So normally this discussion comes up when you're dealing with a Gentile. And the question is Amira Lenachri asking a Gentile, are we permitted to derive benefit from? Here it touches upon a completely different issue. And it's called Maase Shabbos. What happens if a Jew does Melacha on Shabbos? Are you permitted to benefit from this or not? So there are actually three opinions quoted in Maseches Chulin and Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph about this particular issue. So we are going to take just the most extreme position, the most demanding position, and that is offered by Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, Rabbi Yochanan the Shoemaker. The other extreme is Rabbi Meir, who says that Ma'aseh Shabbos on a D'oraisa level is 100% mutter. You're allowed to derive benefit from somebody else's Chilul Shabbos. And it's only prohibited for the person who did it if he did it b'mezid. He knows that it's Asur on Shabbos, and he did it anyhow. So now if he suddenly had a burst of tshuva, and now he asks us the question, am I allowed to eat this? We'll have to tell him no if he did it b'mezid. But Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler believes that it's an Issa D'oraisa. Why? And he says that just on account of the fact that the Torah writes in relationship to Shabbos, Kodesh Hi Lochem, Shabbos is considered a holy day. So Ma Kodesh, things that are dedicated to the Mikdash, Kodesh, are not permitted to be consumed by any of us. Af Ma'aseh Shabbos, so too, Melacha done on Shabbos are prohibited. So he makes the distinction that for the person who cooked it, it's prohibited olamit for the rest of his life, not just till after Shabbos. He's never allowed to benefit from this. For someone else, someone else can eat it after Shabbos. After Shabbos, yeah.
But if you have the mezid suggests that this is someone who is perhaps a frequent visitor who knows this guy's cooking. Isn't it a sort of concept of psik reisha v'layomis?
No. Psik reisha is on the person who did it. And the mezid, I'm talking about the cooker, the cook. The guests, I'm just giving the background to what the issue is. So now the question, yeah?
Is this issue only by cooking, or is it...
No. It happens to be illustrated. It happens to always be illustrated wherever the Gemara talks about mevashel, about melacha, b'shabbos, it's always illustrated how mevashel b'shabbos.
So the issue is not just eating, it's hanah, it's getting hanah from the product.
Correct, that's the issue.
Yeah.
Can you derive benefit from the product that was cooked on Shabbos?
It's not necessarily...
Correct. Meal. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says, hamevashel b'shabbos, pipes up the Ramah, Vahu hadin l'shar melachos. Don't think it's limited only to cooking. It applies, according to the Ramah, to all 39 melachos. So now that you raised that question, I have a chance to tell you of a kula of the Chayadam. Doesn't often give a kula. Many years ago, we had an NCSY Shabbaton in Teaneck. You remember this?
Yeah.
NCSY Shabbaton in Teaneck. And the kid who was driving the truck with all the food, got stuck in traffic on the turnpike. What? He came up with the. I found the chayot. Correct. So he came in on Shabbos after Tzeisa Kochavim. That's when he dries up with the food. The food, and it was driven by a Jew on Shabbos, a yeshiva guy. But he lost his. He didn't think it through. I got all the food here. So Rabbi Gordon at the time asked everybody to please wait in shul after davening. If we decide we're not allowed to use the food, then I'm going to ask everybody to take a couple of kids home and feed them for Shabbos. Nothing we can do. So I was there, Dr. Zalewski was there, and Rabbi Gordon was there. So we looked up in Shulchan Aruch, and it didn't look very promising because it said, Hu hadin l'shar melachos, that it's asur if it was done... we paskin, even if it was b'shogeg, you're not allowed to eat it until Matzoy Shabbos. So I'm not going to say the guy was amazing. He lost his head. He thought, I don't know what it is. But anyhow, Rabbi Zalewski opens up a Chayadam, who's one of the biggest machmirim around. And the Chayadam says it applies to 38 malachos, but not to the malach of Hotza'ah. Of taking something from a Rishus HaRabim, which we must assume the New Jersey Turnpike is, and bringing it into a private domain, it doesn't apply to it. And his logic is as follows. You're not allowed to derive benefit from Maaseh Shabbos where the Melacha contributes to the possibility of eating the item. It improved the item from stage 1 to stage 2. So if you have raw grain and you ground the grain, you did tochein, that's helping prepare you, eat the grain. If you knead the dough, lush, it's getting you even next step. And then of course if you bake it or cook it, fine. But hotza'ah doesn't improve the product at all. The product is completed. It just transfers it from domain A to domain B. That's why Tosfos and Shabbos calls Hotza'ah Melacha Gerua. It's an inferior type of Melacha. And there are many halachic leniencies based on this. So the Chayadam says the Halacha of Melacha Shabbos doesn't apply to Hotza'ah. So of course we relied on it at the time. And Rabbi Gordon said, everybody can go home. They can unpack the truck. in the parking lot and bring everything in to the shul.
Even for the kid
who
drove?
What?
Even for the kid who drove it could do it?
He didn't say, I don't remember what he said. I don't remember what he said about that. Yeah, because it doesn't apply.
So it doesn't apply at all across
doesn't apply across the board.
The only malacha you consider to have...
Because that there was no other malacha with the food. The driving is usur, but that's not affecting the food. The malacha that's affecting the food, that it was brought from Rosh Hashanah Rabin into Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
That was the issue.
That was the issue.
What about Tchum Shabbos? Does it matter?
Yeah, but Tchum is the Rabbanan. It's a less of an issue. Less of an issue. So, anyhow. So the Chassam Sofer wants to know, the person asked him, is somebody else who is not an inn, who's not staying at this inn, is he allowed to eat the food or not?
On Shabbos itself.
On Shabbos itself, that is the question. Then he writes, look at the third paragraph, the Odani Omer. Afilu acherim shelo nizbashel lida'atam uritzonam, even for those who the food was not cooked for their satisfaction or to their knowledge even, o afilu le'elu shelo nizbashel b'shvilam klal, osur lohem le'echot me'osur hatashu shenizbashel b'Yisrael kidei la'achil la'acherim kidei la'arviach bo. You cannot, under any circumstance, even if it was not cooked, you cannot enjoy this whatsoever. Why? And he writes in the next bracket, and I'm going to skip that second bracket to go to the third bracket, 7 lines down. L'fi zeh osur la'acherim liknos mimenu mishum lifnei iver dekaimelon gam be'isu derabanan Ika lifne iver. What does that mean? Why can't somebody who was not a member of this inn, so he didn't pay for it necessarily in advance, where you can say it was cooked for him directly, so he's certainly a beneficiary of the Melecha Shabbos, but somebody who's just walking off the street and he wants to eat it now, obviously he's a Jew and he wants to know, am I allowed to eat this? I'll pay for it, there's no doubt, I'm going to pay for it. So he writes that he's not permitted to do so because he is causing the Jewish owner of the inn to violate something. What is he going to violate? He's going to cook more next week. Why is he going to cook more? Because he's got walk-ins all of a sudden. Exactly. So I am not permitted to do something that would encourage him to engage in what? In doing something which is usur. And that's why he emphasizes that it's only midrabbanan. Because he's cooking for the paid guests. So what is he? What extra is he doing for me? That's called marbe b'shiurim. Mazem marbe b'shiurim? There's an isur derabbanan to, even if somebody is cooking legitimately for someone who is ill, he's not allowed to add anything midrabbanan to cook for somebody who's not ill. And it's all a concern, because next time you'll do it deliberately, you'll put in a little more. So it's an isur derabbanan lifnei iver. That was the psak of the Ksav Sofer. So the Ksav Sofer, at the time, somebody else, another contemporary of his, who wrote She'elot U'Tshuvot Shalei Tzion, I couldn't give it to you because the Bar Ilan doesn't carry his thing. I just read this in an article someplace. And this guy, Shalei Tzion, came up with a chidush why he would not violate the Isur of Lifnei Iver, and under those circumstances, tell you that the people, the visitors, are allowed to go ahead. What did this guy, Shalei Tzion, say? That since the Torah writes, Lifnei Iver lo sitain mechshol, sitain, the avera, the violation of Lifnei Iver, requires a maisin esina. What's the classic example of Lifnei Iver? I'm on this side of the river, and a nazir is on the other side of the river. And the nazir can't come to me because, and I have a bottle of wine. See, he asks me, can I please bring him the bottle of wine? I'm not permitted to do so, because he's a Nazir. He's not allowed to drink wine. So the Shalit Zion says, why is Lifnei Iver a problem there? Because I'm taking the wine and giving it to him. That's part of the definition of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mirshol. That's what this Shalit Zion wrote. And apparently, the Ksav Sofer never responded to him. Maybe because he thought it was Amaratzis, or maybe he didn't have a chance. He never responded. However, the Stipler, the Kilos Yaakov, wrote that this guy is dead wrong, and he cites our Gemara to prove that he's dead wrong. Because what happened in our Gemara, where the maidservant of Rebbe put the guy into Cheirin? There was no act of giving there. He didn't give the son anything. He slapped him in the face. That's not called Messina. Messina means you take an article and you give it to somebody, and that causes a stumbling block for the person. So the Stipler writes, our Gemara, where he was put into Cheirim for violating Lifnei Iver, demonstrates clearly that in order to violate Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitei Mirshol, this Lo Sitein is a nice expression.
But the classic, before an Iver, don't put a Mirshol, it's not giving.
No, but it's
put, it's an action.
It's an act. Correct. It's a mice in the seat. That's correct.
Not really
that's
a mice even, in the seat.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. So he broadened the Lo Sitein. Yes.
So we also say bad advice, deliberate bad advice, it's not a mice in the seat. No, that's. It's the similar. It's an intellectual.
Correct. That's correct. But he was obviously focusing on a very narrow definition of Lifnei Iver on a d'oraita level. But I thought it was interesting that the Stipler brought our Gemara, this story, quotes Amsa the Rebbe, to prove that the Ksav Sofer is right, and this Shalit Zion, I don't know much about him, is dead wrong, but he used our Gemara as the proof. I'm going to invite him.
I have a question about the Lifnei Iver.
Sure.
So this Amsa the Rebbe put him in Cheirim because of this Isra Lifnei Iver.
Yes.
And that fits into the Surim of that the Rambam quotes as his on his 24 Isurim that require that you're allowed
100%.
To
100%. Did you one of the things, the second thing was if you violate any Doraisa.
So you're calling this, so that was.
Or the Rabbanon. So he violated a lot of the
Iver. You know, public, not just any, just...
Where did the Rambam never said that it had to be Befar Hesio or Barabim or anything. Just said if you see somebody neglecting an Issa d'Oraisa, you automatically put him into Cheir. That's the Rambam said. Okay. We are now up to... where it says, Amar Rav Huna Be'usha Hiskinu. It's the fourth wide lines. Fourth Norwood line. Fourth Norwide line. Nechama, you look up who Norwood was. 1991 Super Bowl. Against the Bills. Amar Rav Huna. Be'usha Hiskinu, in the city of Usha, they made the following takana. Av Bezdin Shesorach Ein Midadin Oso. And Av Bezdin, who went sour, he decided, to abandon Yahadut with any one issue. You don't put him into Cheirim. Ela Omer Lo, we tell him. Hachbeid, he kaved. Vishav Bevesecha. So the word he kaved has a couple of possible interpretations. So one is, take a look at Rashi. He kaved. Beloshon hazeh omrim lo. Asei atzmecha ke'odom shekaved alav rosho. Make yourself like somebody who's got a migraine headache. And what does a guy do with a migraine headache? He goes home. Vishav Bevesecha, he goes home. And Beloshon kavod omer lo. You don't get angry at him, you don't ridicule him, but you tell him nicely, you know what, make yourself as if you have a headache, go home, disappear from the public eye. That's what Rashi says. So, in Usha, that's what they used to tell her. Back to the Gemara, the second line. Chazar v'sarach. If he continues to act inappropriately, minadin also, then you do put him into cherem, v'nechilul Hashem. Because if a Talmud Chacham, this is an Av Bezdin, engages in transgression, that leads to a chilul Hashem. Everybody says, look what he does, so why can't I do it? Upliga de Reish Lakish. And this disagrees with Reish Lakish. The Omar Reish Lakish, Talmud Chacham, Shisarach, Ein Minadin Oso Befarhesia. A Talmud Chacham who goes sour, engages in inappropriate activity, one does not put him into cherem in public at all. Shine emar v'chashalta hayom v'chashel gam navi imcha laila kisaho kilaila. Cover it up like if it would be at night. At night nobody sees what's going on. So when you treat this particular Talmud Chacham, treat him like Lila, and never do it in public. So the Gemara before, which said the Takan and Usha, said you can put him in public if it's the second time. However, Reish Lakish doesn't make any distinction between first and second times. If he's a Talmud Chacham, under those circumstances, you do not put him into Cheirah.
What's the time?
It's a good question.
Obviously, other people know or will see this. We'll see what he's doing also.
Right.
He's not doing it in private. He's doing it in public.
Mm-hmm.
So if the public doesn't see consequences,
right,
you would think that it's going to be worse.
I seem to agree with you. I would agree with you.
What? You can't have an odd base and eating a ham sandwich while giving the skewers.
Right, so you think that there are consequences.
Okay, so it's a good question. It's a very good question. So,
we should just go on.
So, it looks like that there's a simple machloikis between Reish Lakish and those others who put people into cherem. First of all, the Takana of Usha, and the story that we had a couple of weeks ago of Rabbi Yehuda, who saw that Talmud Chacham and who had a bad reputation, and what did he do? He didn't wait till the second time. What did he do? Put him to cherem right away. So he certainly disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda.
Is there a cherem that's not Befar Hesyon? What does that mean?
It means not in public. You do it privately in his house. But you never would announce, even though he's caught in the act of violating something, and there could be lots of people around, which would be a nice thing to put him into cherem. For some reason, we don't put him into cherem. Now, some believe that there is no real machloikis going on here. Why? Because the case of Reish Lakish is talking about he only did it once. But if it's Yotza Alav Shmuos Rabos, if this guy is a repeat offender many times, even Reish Lakish would not necessarily say that you should not put him into cherem. So what might be the rationale of that? When you have somebody doing it once, so what potential benefit could you give him? What if you wanted to be Mekayim the mitzvah of giving somebody the benefit of the doubt? Dan Lekavskos, what could you say? A guy who's doing it once, what could you say?
lost his mind.
Again, he lost his mind temporarily. Exactly. He had a very bad day. So he got some terrible news. His stocks went down. Who knows what it was. So one time you can perhaps pardon him and hope that he'll eventually calm down and restore his commitment to Torah and mitzvahs. But if he does it on multiple occasions, then under those circumstances, you don't give him the benefit of the doubt. It's one of Rav Gorelick's famous jokes. Rav Gorelick, who was a Rosh Hashiva who are you for 45 years, but he was sharp and biting like anything. Sharp and biting, because a lot of students couldn't take it. So he used to say, I can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all terrible midot. I understand. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create greed? Because otherwise, no one will want to be a millionaire, and no one's going to give any money to yeshiva if they weren't millionaires. Like this, they become millionaires, they had greed, become millionaires. I can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the people should get angry. Because when they get angry sometimes, you go ahead and react to injustice, to evil. Okay. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to create krumah seichel? Warped logic. And krumah seichel. He says, and I come across krumah seichel every day in my class. Krumah seichel. He says, for having done kolodom lekaf schus. For that, you have to have krumah seichel. Warped logic. Just to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
Wasn't the Reish Lakish one who gave... Didn't we say the guy Reish Lakish gave the... The Nidoy when he was watching the
guard.
Parties.
Yes.
But that guy was also a Talmud Chacham at the end, and he shouldn't have given.
That was one answer.
That was one answer. That would violate this.
So this explanation would say he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. That's all.
That was Ignatz Lavo.
That's it. Exactly.
And that's the pasuk.
Or he didn't know.
Hayom.
What?
That's the pasuk. The Chashalta Hayom.
Correct.
Yes, Hayom.
Good point. Today he was Nichshal. That's exactly it. Good. Now, not everybody is even awarded this every single Talmud Chacham, but who who did the Gemara actually say should not be put into Cherem at least the first time? The Gemara was talking about an Av Bezdin, and in fact, the Rambam, if you go for a second to page 4 for a second. The Rambam formulates this in Halacha Aleph. Chacham Zokein B'Chachma. A Chacham who is considered a veteran scholar. V'chein Nasi, or Nasi. O Av Bezdin, or the head of the Bezdin. Shesorach. Ein minadin osan bifarhesia le'olam. You do not ever put him into chirut in public. Elohim kain osaki Yeravam ben Nevat v'chavirav. Unless he was as guilty as Yeravam ben Nevat, who not only was chote, but machti as a rabbim, causes other to sin. Aval kishichata shar chatos, Malkin Oso Bitsina. You can give him lashes, but you don't humiliate him by putting him into Cherem in public. So
it seems almost as if what you're protecting is the office, not someone.
Okay, but that I would say that by a Nasi or an Abbez,
right.
Not Chacham Zokim B'Chacham. He's just an outstanding Talmud Chacham. But it's not an ordinary Talmud Chacham. So it's only looking to give the benefit of the doubt, perhaps, for one occasion, only to somebody who's very special. And the Rambam, I'll go to page 5, we saw this last week, in number 23 of the 24 things for which you put somebody to Cherem, the Rambam acknowledges, Chacham, that's an ordinary Talmud Chacham, Sheshmu Aso Ra'ah, who we've heard bad things about him, you know, a lot of rumors about him. You put him into Cherem. The Rambam doesn't say you don't do it before Hesia. The Rambam doesn't say you do it the second time. It's the first time. So it's not all across the board. Talmud Chacham, Shesorach. It's a very special Talmud Chacham. And in fact, the Me'iri, on page number 6, I forgot to bracket it, it's the second to the last paragraph on the bottom. Second to the last paragraph on the bottom. Talmid Chacham HaMeyuchad Be'iro. A Talmud Chacham who is distinguished and known as what? His city. He doesn't have to be the Av Bezdin, doesn't have to be the Nasi, but people recognize him as the greatest scholar in his community, the Hagadol Shebo, and the greatest scholar in that city. Shesorach ein menadnos obehedya. You don't put him in Cherem specifically. Ela omrin lo. You tell him dvarim sheyakir bahen me'atzmo, that he'll recognize himself shechaverav meruchakim mimenu, that his friends plan on staying away from him. Kigon he kaved v'shav b'veseqa u'kiyotzebo v'im higia sirchono, but if his transgression has reached the point lahachti acherim, this is exactly what the Rambam had said, minad nosa b'fahesia v'talmud chacham acher shesorach ein koftzin l'nad oso miyad elo modiyin oso. You just try to correct him. V'im lo chazar bo minadin oso b'tzina. You do put him in cherim, but it is done b'tzina, says the Me'iri. So, apparently there was some concern that there is a real debate between Reish Lakish and the Takan Anusha, or Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda, and all of these are trying to minimize it. No, it doesn't apply to everybody, it only applies to a special person, and so on and so forth. Yeah?
We see Afer was not the Cherem, because Rameh is the one from him, and he takes after him.
He
wasn't Machti.
That's good.
Right, he wasn't, but he definitely was...
He deserved to be put into Cherem.
Right,
yeah.
But he wasn't.
That's true. That's a very good question. Why wasn't he put into Cherem?
Because maybe correct, I guess.
Okay, yet Rabbi Lezer, we know he was.
Right.
Right? We know he was.
What's the source of the word sarach? Where else is that used?
Sirchon?
Because it's a weird... I mean, why would they say it that way?
I'm not... Because it means... Sirchon in Yoredeya means a bad, foul smell. That's what it means. So
it's unusual in this context.
Okay, I hear...
Not that I've seen another context.
I hear...
It wouldn't be the word that I would expect.
I'm not sure what it means.
But it
means something going bad. That's what sircha means. Sirchon is... Well, yeah.
We have other words for that. People become less observant. You know.
They're using the imagery of going bad in food.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Yeah, okay.
Something went spoiled. That's saruach.
Yes. Contemporary Hebrew says a masil, and it's a foul odor. Yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly
how to use it today.
It's a version of, Lashon Saginara, in a way of saying it's spoiling, but without using something much stronger.
Coming out the chorus.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So the fact that it says Abbas and didn't actually say Nasi, is there anything that can be learned from that? I mean, he stopped at Abbas, meaning would Nasi be a different situation?
Well, the Rambam said no. The Rambam lists Nasi as a second category. The Nasi, and then he writes the next one, Abezdin.
Why would they use the Nasi? I mean, why would they use Abezdin and Gemara here as opposed to anything else?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You just said Nasi and just make it learn everything you want.
True. But the Nasi's rank is a little higher than the Abezdin.
Right.
So then I would say it's only the Nasi.
Yeah.
But if you want to abandon it, you take the lower level, and you assume that it applies to the more severe.
No, if you look at it as a protection, maybe only the Nazi gets protected. If you look at it as a punishment, then it's the Av based in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're getting by there.
It's not good PR.
I happen to agree with you.
You have a leader that asked there.
What?
Marzutra Chasida, Marzutra the Chasid, ki mechayev tzubere rabbanan shamta, when any rabbinic scholar was due to be put into cherem, Bereisha Meshamet Nafshei. First he put himself into Cherem. Vahadar Meshamet Ladidei. And then he went ahead and put the other guy in Cherem. Ki heve ayil be'ushpuze, when he came out to see the person, shari late, when he wanted to go see him and see if he deserves to be released, shari le lenafshe v'hada shari l'didei. First he released himself, and then he released this other person. So there are three or four explanations given why did he put himself into Cherem first. So we'll take a look at Rashi and then Tosis. So Rashi says, about 10 lines from the bottom, Mishamet Nafshei, Mishum Yikra Dahahut Surba Merabana. Maze Yikra? The preciousness, the honor of the other scholar. If I'll put him into Cherem, you know, he's going to feel very bad. But he won't feel badly if what? If he sees me, then I'm putting myself into Cherem as well. So to maintain the honor and the dignity of the person who is scheduled to be put into Cherem, he put himself into Cherem. Take a look at the last Tosfos on the page, on the opposite side. Mishamit Nafshei, says Tosfos, Mishum Tza'ar, Shitzorich Linados Talmud Chacham. Because he put himself into Cherem because he was agonizing over the fact that he had to put a Talmud Chacham into Cherem. So the way he somehow rid himself of that feeling was he put himself into Cherem. And then, you know, if I put myself into Cherem, so it's not so terrible that I put him into Cherem. Inami, kidei sheyehe zochur lahatir. Because if I don't put myself into Cherem, I'm just going to go about my business, I'm going to forget to see if I should ever release him. Like this, if I know that I'm in Cherem, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to check up on him every day to see whether or not he's mended his ways. And then I'll be matir myself, and then matir him. Why did he matir himself first? So everybody quotes this famous Maimon Chazal, Yovo Zakai V'yitaher Es HaZakai. Let somebody who is already pure and innocent come to be mitaher somebody else. V'al Yovo Chayov, but somebody who is still in Nidui should not come to be mitaher somebody else. Yes?
What's the foundation for someone being able to be matir himself?
That's an excellent question.
Menada himself also, either way.
But menada himself is not such a terrible question. Well, why shouldn't I be able to be menada myself? Why not?
Why should you?
Why not?
You can't speak Lashon Hara about yourself.
You're taking a nether, basically.
We're going to see that in the next story that the Gemara will take. Nidui operates on the principle of neder. Correct. We're going to get to that. So just hold off two seconds.
But the previous stories also, with the people that put themselves in Nizuf, they're angry when they got all of the previous stuff.
What was that?
The people that put themselves in, what was it, the level before Nidui, the...
Nizuf.
Yeah, Nizuf. They put themselves in
Nizuf. Yes, they all did. Yeah. But the real question is, how do you get yourself out of Nidui by yourself? So we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. So that was what Rashi said and what Tosfos said. The Rimi Pariz writes that, Rabbi Chaim Pariz, the Rosh's brother, he writes that the reason why he put himself into Cherem was he was worried that the other guy is going to lash out at him and perhaps put him into, either curse him, put him into a more severe Cherem. So in order to demonstrate to the Talmud Chacham, who he's putting into Cherem, that I'm not doing it for the purpose of humiliating you, so that you will seek revenge against me, I'm doing it because I have a legal responsibility, and I want you to mend your way. So therefore he put himself into Cherem, so that he does not trigger a backlash on behalf of the Chacham to be mocked, just as we had in that story with Reish Lakish, who was guarding the field, and he put somebody into Cherem. What did that guy do? He put Reish Lakish into Cherem. Yeah.
Did we learn that the only people who can visit people in Cherem are others? So maybe that's another reason.
Other people who were in Cheru.
Yeah.
Okay, that's also a nice explanation. Yes. Yeah. Also. Let's continue.
Is it possible to put somebody in Cheru who's already there? I mean, to sort of double. Just wondering whether.
Secret.
Okay. Maybe put himself to Cheru so that the Chacham Chacham wouldn't then go and do it to him. Because then,
so what would difference does it make?
If somebody else puts the same thing, this way he can get out of his own head.
Oh. Otherwise, yes.
Okay, that's a good svara. That's a good svara. Yeah.
Is he really putting himself in real cherem for a real reason?
Or yeah. No. He's whatever the reason is, he put himself into nidui, and he follows all the laws of nidui.
Even though he wasn't over on anything.
Yes. Amarav gidul amarav. Talmud Chacham minade la'atzmo umefir la'atzmo. Talmud Chacham can be minade himself and release himself. Amarav Papa, Tesi li, I should be rewarded, delo shamiti tzurber merabbanan li'oilom. I never put anybody into cheru. I should be rewarded for that. So how did I conduct myself if I actually saw somebody who deserved to be put in the chayrim? Because he did something wrong. What did I do? And it says the Gemara, ki ha d'vidimar rava. He followed what they did in Eretz Yisrael. Mimnu anagida d'tsurba merabanan velo mimnu ashamta. They decided they'll give him lashes, but they're not putting him into chayrim. Because cherem is the absolute worst thing that you can do. Absolute worst thing that you can do. Yeah. Now, this issue about releasing himself is subject to a debate. Not everybody takes the Gemara literally and just says you can be menade yourself after you put yourself into cherem. So the Ran writes, this only applies if you are putting yourself into cherem because of a midas chasidus, such as this guy. He was super nice, super sensitive to the guy who deserved it, so he put him into cherem. But if you put yourself into cherem because you yourself did something wrong and you're trying to mend your behavior, you can't be the judge to determine whether or not I should be getting out of cherem. That's what the Ran writes. It doesn't, the Ran and the Rashba write that. It only works if he's being minade himself bitzad the halacha of Midas Chasidus. Midas Chasidus. But if it's not because of Midas Chasidus, forget about it. However, Yeah, go to Halacha Yud Aleph in the Rambam, page 4. Halacha Yud Aleph. Second phrase. First time he talks about Nidui Al Tanai. Not going into that now. Talmud Chacham Shenida Atzma. Any Talmud Chacham that put himself into Nidui. Va'afilu Nida Atzmai Al Das Ploni. Even if he put himself into Nidui on condition saying, you know, let that guy agree with the fact that I putting myself into Nidui. Afilu al davar shechayiv olav nidui. Even if he's putting himself into nidui for something that he deserves to be put, not just the midas chasidus, hareza mefer la'atzmo. He's allowed to be matir neder. And the Ravid challenges the Rambam from a pasuk in the Chumash. Amar Avraham, hasagas Ravid, Talmud Chacham shenides atzmo. Amar Avraham. Ze eino muchvar. This makes no sense whatsoever. Im Cain, Lama Yehuda, Lama lohitir laatzmo. Va'al kol ze kashali, Yaakov Lama lohitira. What? How did or when did Yehuda put himself into chayim? When he told Yankala. When they were, Yaakov was hesitating to send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. So Yehuda says, send them down. V'chatasi lecha kol hayomim. And the way many interpret v'chatasi lecha mean kol hayomim, I'm going to be, what? Some say it means, even olam, I give up my schar and olam haba. And others say it means, I'm going to put myself into cherem. So if Yehuda put himself into cherem, so he could have just released himself from the Chayrim. Why did he have to go make a struggle fight with Yosef when he got to Mitzrayim? Because he told Yosef, you know, I made a promise to my father and I have to get myself out of this. Furthermore, asked the Ravid, how come Yaakov never released him from the Neder? From the Chayrim. But the point that the Ravid is that if you deserve to be in Chayrim, and here you deserve to be in Chayrim because you promised Yaakov you're going to do X, Y, and Z. And if you can't deliver on that promise, you have to put yourself into Chayrim. So,
he was in Chayrim even though he delivered on it.
What?
He was in Chayrim even though he delivered on it.
No, he said, I am going to be in Chayrim. If I bring him back, it's not a problem.
I think it says that he was, wasn't his, or his bones were in Nidoi, even when they were lifting him out of, when they were burying him, bringing him to Eretz Yisrael. He says that his bones were shaking from being in Nidoi.
Could be. Somebody quotes that Medrash. Yeah, I'm sure it's not a pasuk, that's for sure.
Well, the whole thing is, I
don't know. Okay. Could be. Don't know. I don't see why you would be in Chayrim if you fulfilled this promise.
It's like, I think it's because a tzaddik, I guess, when he fulfills it still, is the Chayrim is still fulfills.
That's if the tzaddik is Geyser. Here he did it himself. So you mean to tell me his own declaration has to be fulfilled?
The Medrash said that he was still
okay. Yeah.
But if you're talking about Yehuda in this situation, and he's saying, if I don't succeed in bringing him back, tshuva is something that someone has control over. But here, if circumstances don't allow it, and it's outside, it's beyond his control.
Right.
What's the sense of the whole nidui? I mean, he's saying, my best efforts. It's not a
I grant you, and I'm sure the Rambam knew the story about Yehuda as well. And he probably, everything that everybody said here is running through the Rambam's mind. Don't bring me any proofs from Yehuda. Don't bring any proofs from Yehuda. Ravid's proof is not the most compelling thing in the world.
It's also in Nidui Atma or to Nidui Atma al Tanai. It's like a combination of two things.
That is also correct. That is true. Yes.
Yeah, Rashi quotes from Zosav Racha, the Medrash.
The Medrash, yeah.
It told you Radim because he said Chatzim Chatzol Yemim.
Okay. Let's continue. My Shamta. What is considered Shamta? What is the word Shamta composed of?
Now what is it?
Imagine after 3 pages, because we're coming to the end. That's why I'm trying to get to the end of the sugya, so when we come back in 2 weeks, we can start something else. Amar Rav, Sham Misa.
That's harsh.
there is death there. That's how serious Shamta is. There is death. And why is it considered like death? Because a mitzora is chashuv kemes, and a mitzora is badad yeshev michutz lamachaneh. He has to sit isolated. So somebody who's in nidu, he was also isolated from society, that's considered as if he had experienced some degree of death. Ushmuel omar, shmama yihyeh. It means that he should be like desolate. Umahanye be kitichya bitanura. And it's as effective as fat in an oven. When they wanted to grease the oven with fat in order to... what they used to do was to take the dough and smack it. It's called... taking it off is called Radia Sapas, which is Chachma Veina Malacha. So they would put fat on the wall and smack the dough against it. So that fat really sticks to the oven. A nidui is effective because it sticks to you, just like the fat in the oven. That's how successful it is. Upliga the Rish Lakish. The Amar Rish Lakish. Kishem shenichneses b'masayim v'arbam u'shmoyne ivarim. Just as that it goes into the 248 limbs. Kachi kishihi yotza. Yotza mi'masayim v'arbam u'shmoyne ivarim. It goes out. When you do tshuva, you don't have to worry about the effects any longer. It purges itself from all of your 248 limbs. Kishihi nichneses d'chsiv v'haysa ha'ir cherem. Cherem b'gematria masayim v'arbam mishmoina. The city will be like cherem, and cherem is b'gematria 248. Kishihi yotza d'chsiv b'rogez rachem tizkor. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at you, eventually what's going to happen, he's going to have mercy upon you, and rachem is b'gematria 248. Amar Rav Yosef, Shaddai Shamta Agnuvta de Kalba. I once put a cherim on the tail of a dog. V'ihi dida avda de halkul kalba. They have a ochal misane de rabbanon. V'lo have a kayade manu. This dog was eating up the shoes of a couple of rabbis, and they didn't know about it. So v'sham tulei, so I put a cherim on the dog. Islei beinura begenuvse, a fire broke out within the dog, within his tail. V'achalte, and he what? Got consumed. That's how powerful my nidui is.
The whole dog or just the tail?
The whole dog. Let's imagine it was the whole dog. Okay? It started from the tail. Shoot.
That's harsh.
I know. Next case. Hahu Alma, there was this bully, Alain, called the Alim Gvar, you have in Bava Basra. Sometimes disputes are resolved by whoever's stronger. So you had Hulk Hogan, Hahu Alma, Hulk, the Hulkster. They have a called Mitzayr Lahautzu Ber Rabbanan. He was making trouble for some rabbi. Also, Lukami to Rabbi Yosef. So he came to Rabbi Yosef and says, "What can I do about it?" Amale Zil Shamte. Put him in Cherem. What's the problem? Amale. So the guy told him, the rabbi told him, Mistafina mine, I'm afraid of him. Amale shkilei pesicha aleo. Write a shamta about him. Write a shamta about him. Says kolshkein the mistafina mine. Then he's going to get even more angry at me. And what is he going to do? Amale. So he suggested to him, Shakle Achte Bekada, write this thing and put it in a pitcher, in a little jar. Ve'achte, and lock it up, seal it. Bekavre, Vikori be Alpha Shipure Ba'arboin Yomin. And go to a cemetery, Bekavre Kvarot, go to a cemetery and pronounce the Cherem and then put it into this box, into this little box, and blow a shofar. 1,000 shofros, Alpha Shipure, 1,000 times to blow the shofar for 40 days. So then, when you blow the shofar, he's not going to hear the pronouncement of the Cherem. Ozil Ovid Hachi, that's exactly what this guy did. Pokar Kata, after the 40 days, the barrel burst. Umis Alma, and the guy dropped dead. Guy dropped that. Nice little story. Yeah. My Shipure. Well, what's this idea of Shoifros here? Answers the Gemara, Shinifroin Minenu. Because a shofar calls you to justice. And it ultimately demands retribution against you. If you hear the sound of the shofar and you don't mend your way, it demands retribution against you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My Tavra, what does this mean, Tavra, that it broke? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Tavra Bate Romi. In addition to blowing a tekiah, they also blew a shvarim. That's what it means, tavre. Tavre means to break. It means the broken sound. Why did they blow the shayf with a shvarim? Sanyam Ram Shem Gamliel, kol makam shenasnu chacham meineyem, o misa o oni. Because if the chachamim are angry at you, what happens? Either you're going to die, or you're going to suffer dire poverty. Yeah.
This whole thing doesn't make sense.
You're right.
He's afraid of him.
Yeah.
He's afraid of him.
Yes.
And because you're afraid, blow the shofar so he won't hear you.
Right.
And if he doesn't hear you, he's a cherem, but he's not going to know he's a cherem. He didn't hear you, but the idea is that if you blow the shofar, you're summoned to justice. He doesn't know that he's been summoned to justice because he couldn't hear him. Okay. He just heard shofar.
See, if you want to see even worse, take a look at this page 7. Where Chassam Sofer makes a comment about what's going on here. It's the last line of page 7. Now, Svi made a comment before that Nidui is based on the halacha of Neder. I can impose a Neder upon somebody else. I am allowed to say, I don't want you to benefit from me, or I don't want to benefit from you whatsoever. That's part of Hilchos Nedarim. So Nidui, to some extent, is predicated upon this halacha. I don't want you to have benefit or interaction with anybody else. So once it is now somehow segued to Neder, the Pasuk says in Parshas Matos, which describes Nidarim, and in Parshas Vayikra, where somebody made a neder to do something, the Torah says, Livatei Bisfasayim. You have to articulate the neder verbally. So if you have to put the neder verbally, writing it down and putting this is there an issue? So he writes, last line, V'ra'isi lahagon noide b'Yehuda simin hanal shekasav de'becherem pshitole de'moel b'ksav. That by cherem, writing a nidui on a cherem does work, putting somebody in the cherem by writing. De'becherem lo ksiv levatei b'sfasai. So although it might be connected to the laws of neder, it doesn't say black on white. Because the Torah does describe charamim. in Parshas Bechukosai, and it never uses that expression levate bisfasayim by cherem. Va'ani tama, and I am perplexed. In Cain yecherem chal behirhur v'lipo. Why do you even have to write something? If there is no halacha that can have to articulate the cherem, just think about it. Dare hirur halev bishvua, hirur halev in relationship to shvua, the lo yoil, does not work. Yalev shvua mi mashmuti de levate svasayim. Because there, by shvua, it says, levate bisvasayim.
How will the others know to keep away from it?
Okay, so just, that's what he's going to come to. Listen to this. And because of that, they even wanted to eliminate, if you wanted to write down a shvua in Beis Din, they didn't want to allow it. Because the Torah says...
Even someone who can't speak?
Okay, it does, we don't know about that. We don't know about that. So, the e neimad the kosev charmo yoil levate bisvasayim. If you wanted to say that writing a cherem will work and it's based on levate, it can counts as levate bisvasayim, lo koi achare im kein hachinami b'maharer chermo yachul. Why, if you don't need articulating a cherem, and that's why you say writing it works, because writing a shvua does not work, because levate bisfasayim is written by a neder or shvua, so then why can't you have a cherem internally, hirhur? V'yishtaka hadavar, v'lo yomru. Let him just say it and we'll forget about it after that. V'afal pi shenira lefi ani esdaiti pashut, even though I'm 100% convinced, Mikol makom nira li lahavi raya mizeh midamrinan b'shas moed katan yudzayin amid aleph hahu alma to have a mitzaer lahahu tzur b'rabban. This bully was agonizing this rabbi. Also lekame de Rabbi Yosef. Amalei he said to him zil shamte. Amalei mistafina mina. I'm afraid of him. Amalei shikule pischa psicha ale pireish. Ksov aleha shamta. Ksov aleha stama. Just write it down. Says kosh gained the mistafina mina. I'm certainly going to be afraid of him. Amalei shakla achde dekada. Put it into a barrel and lock it. Perish Rashi shakle lichtav shamta. Take the written thing and do what? And put it into this barrel. Hare kaman. He was afraid to articulate the neder verbally. Why? Even though he's standing 2 miles away from this guy. What's going to happen? Mishum of hashamayim yolich es hakol yolich es hakol. A bird's going to hear what you're saying, and the bird's going to transfer the words to whom? To Hulk Hogan. And that's why I'm afraid of him. So therefore, what did he tell him to do? He told him, just write it down. Because the bird can't read. That's what he told him. So that's why Vinasa lo eitza lichtov hashamta al hasefer ulahakmino b'tochakad yeuyin shok. And if you believe that thinking about a nidui works as well, amaylo hirur hashamta belibo. Why did Rav Yosef have to tell him to write it down? Why didn't he just tell him to think about it? And then the bird's not going to be able to get hold of it. So must be that what? The hirur does not work for a cherem. That's what he writes in response to the Noda Behuda. But what I wanted to show you is how the Chassam Sofer explains why this guy was afraid to articulate the ned, the shamta, because a bird's going to hear it and he's going to transport it to Hulk Hogan. That's, I thought it was a little weird.
It's supposed to be Kohelis.
What?
Over Shemayim Yitenis HaKol.
Okay, that's fine.
It's a form of transport from Shlomo's time.
Yeah, okay.
But
yes.
While we're in the animal kingdom, the birds,
what is that?
While we're in the animal kingdom, the birds, but it doesn't mean the severity of the way to put a dog in chayru.
Yeah,
I mean, it means the whole concept. What does it mean to put a dog in chayru?
Not quite sure. I know. It means the dog can't go have any friends. Tell the dog, please stay home. Okay, Rabosai, as I said, 2 weeks, we can start again in 3 weeks. That's January 28th.